It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are off and running on this, the 12th day of January, 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the web, on the interweb tubes. That's where we reside. And it's also where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all time zones in between and the great globe round if you're listening live. And hey to everybody listening live, and hey to the podcast crew, too. It's all one big, happy community. Hi, I'm Robin. It's nominally Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Yeah, the little old blue-haired ladies and little old blue-haired men here in our imaginary cathedral of common sense are out there and in the fellowship hall kitchen making up a fantastic phony baloney, fake, imaginary fellowship hall meal. Oh, and it was one of your better imaginary fellowship hall meals this afternoon, no doubt about it. Yeah, working backwards, we had that cinnamon streusel swirl bundt cake thing going on with a little bit of whipped cream. And they packaged that up together with a big, nice, rich, hearty, flavorful beef stew. They use a little bit of the sacramental wine in the beef stew, and it's so, so good. Big pan of cornbread. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. 999, Asa tells me. And that means that we're getting the program out, and that's a wonderful thing. And like I said, if you pop on over to the chat room, you'll be greeted by early arrivers. Roger in Oregon, and Squeaky, and capably moderated by long time, by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. I'm sure Ms. Karen is still basking in the glow of the national championship game, and I'm happy for her. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So we send out thanks as the as this part of the month it's a little on the thin side as far as subscribers go, but we thank our 12th day of the month subscribers, Gary up in New York. Thank you so kindly. And and Paul, thank you, Paul. Thank you both for being partial sponsors of the program for the 12th day of the month. It is much appreciated. And we will we'll see where things go, because we've actually got only $275 to raise this evening. So if we did that would be tremendous. And I got a text message a little bit ago, and I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. This Saturday, January 15th, is your last chance to change your 2022 marketplace coverage. The $1,700 a month coverage that I ain't getting. Yeah, there's just a bunch of stuff to deal with, and I'm trying to deal with it as best I can. But you know, it's life. It's life. And I've been absolutely, not duelist, but Kind of feeling like staying here close to the ranch for a little while because I don't feel bad. I'm just, well, I'm a little freaked out because, well, we're spiking like crazy here in West Virginia, and not the least of which includes the latest news that the governor of the state of West Virginia, Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice, says he's feeling, it was a curious turn of phrase, actually. The bottom line, he said he feels extremely unwell because he's got the Rona. He tested positive. His heart rate went up. His blood pressure went up. You know, he's 70 years old. He's got lots of comorbidities. And I know that that one blogger doesn't want us to talk about comorbidities, but they are a factor in what makes COVID worse and more dangerous and more deadly. And so with him not feeling so good, well, the West Virginia legislature came into session. And hold on tight, trans kids, they're coming for you. And he's supposed to deliver, by constitutional requirement, a state of the state address. He will be submitting it in writing this time through because he's not strong enough to stand there and give the state of the state address. He's probably not, under the best of circumstances, he's not strong enough to do that. So, it's hard to praise him because there's a lot to not praise him for, but you can almost hear the frustration in his in his words when he asked for this to happen just one night before the state of the state, knowing I won't be able to be there, saddens me. There are so many great things happening in West Virginia right now. So I apologize in every way for not being able to join you tomorrow night, and I especially apologize to all our invited guests who are having to change their plans. I'll be back in front of you in person before you know it. West Virginia's so-called COVID czar, Dr. Clay Marsh, said, I have full confidence that Governor Justice will recover quickly, and it's because he chose to receive the COVID-19 vaccine and his booster shot. Without the immunity afforded by those vaccines, his outcome could be much worse. And, among other things, I give credit for a certain amount of proactivity. Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice actually reached out to the Biden administration and asked for permission to start administering fourth doses. Now, that hasn't happened yet, but apparently he does know that he is a member of a party of numbnuts. West Virginia is somewhere around 62-63% vaccinated, somewhere around in there. And that and when you do the math, that you realize that that leaves the remainder as basically that same toxic plurality or noisy minority in this country that is basically maggot world. Yeah. Jeez. And you know what? I hope he recovers. And I hope he recovers quickly, and I hope he's not a COVID long hauler. I don't want to see anybody. We've had nearly a million people horizontally crucified on their bellies and leaving and having the universe end for them in that brutal fashion. You know, I not to put too fine a point on it or anything, but because I had never had major surgery, The only thing I'd ever had was, you know, a tonsillectomy when I was like four or something. I was fascinated is the wrong word, but when I came to out of surgery and realized I was still alive, I'm not dead. How about that, Ange? I'm not dead. It was a weird feeling. Because I think our natural primate brains see that empty space. Because there was nothing. I was gone. I rolled my face over into that foam rubber mask so that they could go looking for the place to stick the spinal thingy to administer the medication that would knock my ass out that didn't last as long as it should have. Annette has a theory about that, and I think it's probably a valid theory. But the just nothingness, and nothingness doesn't even touch it. And I came away thinking, huh? So, I mean, my autonomic systems were working. My heart was pumping, my breathing, and all of that stuff. But my brain was dead, and you know, I knew I was alive when I started feeling more pain than I'd ever known in my life. And I grieve. And I think there is a reckoning coming in terms of behavioral health for a whole lot of America, ongoing, as we contemplate who we've lost. And the fact that it's a significant percentage of the over 65 demographic in this country means that to a certain extent, some degree of intergenerational wisdom has been lost. And of course, .. needlessly so. So I wish the governor of West Virginia a speedy recovery. I do. We poke fun at him because God knows he puts himself in a position to have fun poked at him. And there's a lot wrong with him, and there's a lot wrong with how he governs or attempts to govern. You know, I think there's something particularly slimy about being talked into running for governor as a Democrat by your buddy Joe Manchin. They're not such great friends anymore, or so we are told. And then, you know, then to turn around and sink the shiv in the backs of the poor people who voted for him, thinking that he was a Democrat. But that's for another day. I just want him to get well. And he did say, you know, what I want to know is if you get the vaccines and the booster, you're protected against the Omicron. Where's the downside in that? And so, lo and behold, on a Twitter post about him having it, there's no dearth of maggots and COVIDiots and mask holes and spread necks. And so he got all the vaccines and he still got it. Huh. But he probably won't die. And that's a good thing. Because as much as I might object to a whole lots and lots and lots and lots of things about the politics of Mick West Virginia, great big old Governor Jim Justice, I also know that what would follow should he, God forbid, this being prayer meeting Wednesday, we can say God forbid because, you know, I am the abbess in absentia. I am the naughty nun. Archpope, Uber Rabbi, all of that. Ultimate Imam. What would fill his shoes would make him look like freaking Gandhi. We always have to be cognizant of that kind of thing. Don't you think? Because that's how it feels to me. But anyway, that's where we find ourselves going into this prayer meeting Wednesday. And hopefully we'll have some conversation later on, but yesterday was so zany with Dr. Fauci taking down not one but two wackadoodle Republican senators, and delightfully so in the case of both of them, Roger Marshall of Kansas and you know, Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head. I think that thing on his head is where he hides his dog-eared copy of Atlas Shrugged or something. I don't know. But anyway, it was so zany yesterday that we didn't get around to all the zaniness. So I figured we'd kind of pick up where we left off. I mentioned on yesterday's program that we had a moment with Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball. She's getting more stochastic by the minute. Last week sometime, I could not remember the name of Seb Gorka, who, once he got bounced from the nitwit Nero administration, promptly went over and got himself a paying gig, and I bet it pays well, over at Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. And so, because it's always, she's always good for some quotes, whoever actually has a job booking guests for Seb Gorka over at Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, well, they booked Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball. And that wacky band of that wacky band of voices in her head. It might not be the worst idea in the world to get the hockey puck out, because, well, she's now talking about shooting Democrats.
They're coming for our guns and for our civil rights, are they not?
Oh, of course they are. As a matter of fact, Stacey Abrams, who is running for governor for the second time in Georgia, in her announcement speech, after she said that she would pursue aggressive vaccinations of Georgians, the next thing she talked about was grabbing people's guns. She hates Georgia's Second Amendment rights. She wants to stop constitutional carry, which is exactly what our state legislators and our governor should be pursuing right now. They should be passing it and signing it into law.
More guns, goddammit. We ain't got enough guns. We need everybody carrying two guns, and they got to carry them out in the open or tucked away in a pocket. Everybody needs a gun.
But yeah, no, Democrats, they hate our Second Amendment, because ultimately, the truth is, it's our Second Amendment right.
Well, no, sugar, we don't hate the Second Amendment. We actually just know what it says. And Marge, can I call you Marge? We know that you have never been even in the same freaking area code as a well-regulated militia. But we do know that you're apparently hell on Tannerite stuffed Priuses. Oh, the performative nature of Second Amendment fetishism.
It's our right to bear arms that protect Americans and give us the ability to defend ourselves from a tyrannical government.
Yeah, how about a tyrannical virus there, Marge? Can you get out your AR-15 freedom-protecting shooting gun and blow away the Rona? Teeny tiny little bullets. No? Oh, then you're an idiot.
And I hate to use this language, but...
See, now, here's kind of a tell. Anytime that a maggot wingnut says, and I hate to use this language, but... A, they're going to use the language, and B, they don't really hate it because it kind of gets them off to talk about it.
...defend ourselves from a tyrannical government, and I hate to use this language, but Democrats... They're doing exactly what our founders talked about when they gave us these precious rights that we have. And you know, no one wants violence. And I say it all the time. I'm not a violent person, and I hope to never see a civil war in this country. And that's why.
If you hope to never see it, why do you even say that, Margie? Why do you say that? we're supposed to actually have constitutional principles in place that prevent 1861 from ever happening again. That's at least what the outcome of 1865 was. Okay, we did this. We're not ever going to do this again. And then when some traitors and treacherous Southerners decided they would found the Klan and try to do it again, only on a guerrilla warfare basis, President Grant, acting on the Congress's Klan Act, went in and crushed them like bugs. But we're not going to go that deep into history yet. But I hope to never... But when she says, I hope to never see one, what she's ever actually telegraphing is she wants one. She certainly wants secession. She just doesn't say it that often because she's one of those idiots that doesn't know the difference between succession, like who comes next after the old queen dies, and secession, which is what happens when political bodies secede from other political bodies. Totally different spellings, totally different pronunciations, totally different words. But it's a bit of a bridge too far for Marge.
You hear me toss around national divorce because the federal government has grown so big.
Oh, she tosses things, all right. Yeah. National divorce. National divorce is so much easier to say than secession, which is what she's talking about.
Me toss around national divorce because the federal government has grown so big and the Democrats are willing to use the power of the federal government that it really violates people's rights.
As if the Republicans were never willing to use the power of the federal government to violate people's rights? Because I kind of am, you know, aware of the fact that, well, this country only became a multiracial political entity in 1965. That's less time than I've been alive on the planet. And up until then, the vast weight of the federal government was used to oppress people and deny them rights that the Constitution actually guaranteed to them. That's a little bit of it's kind of along the same lines as what Joe Biden was talking about down in Atlanta. But never mind. National divorce.
And this is why state rights are so important. And it's a shame. We shouldn't.
Oh, there's the magic word. I will warrant that any person of color who hears states' rights knows exactly what that means. In fact, we were talking about it in a previous program, how everybody knew when Ronald Reagan was blathering about states' rights at the Neshoba County Fairgrounds in Neshoba County, Mississippi, in, what, August of 1980, everybody knew what that meant. Because you don't go swanning around the same county where three young people were murdered and buried alive in an earthen dam talking about states' rights, the very phrases that the murderous Klansmen were using, and not know what that phrase means. But then again, the people who tune in Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, and pay attention to Seb Gorka and think that Marjorie Trader Gangrene Q-Ball is an intelligent human being, they don't know. Or if they do know, they try not to let people know they know. But states' rights is voter suppression, voter intimidation. There's a reason that these constitutional carry laws are so popular in the same states where keeping brown people from voting is equally popular. Just saying.
Think that way, but, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but we always have to make sure that we're defending our Second Amendment rights and making sure that our state rights are protected.
By states' rights, in this case, she means the right to suppress the vote and make sure that the cranky little minority maggots somehow retain control. also something that's existed in American history for longer. But the bottom line is her stochastic terrorism is ramping up. Just like we found out when Dr. Fauci was talking before the Senate committee yesterday and pointed out that after braying about fire Fauci, fire Fauci, fire Fauci, then lo and behold, a guy gets busted, in Iowa, on his way from the West Coast to Washington, D.C. to kill Dr. Fauci. That bright line we talked about between Rand Paul and that dude, we've seen it time and time again. Tides Foundation, when the Beckerhead was Bruga Bruga Brugaing about the Tides Foundation, and then dude puts a gun in his car, drinks a bottle of liquid courage, and heads for the Tides Foundation to stop the progressive left. Only he was a little too drunky drunk and got busted for DUI before he could actually hurt anybody. But it was not for want of intent. And so Marge said she hated to use that language about, you know, potentially needing to murder some Democrats. And I'm not familiar with Representative Haley Stevens, a Democrat from Michigan, but I'm proud of her. Finding out about Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Q-Ball's stochastic blatherings, Representative Haley Stevens of Michigan reached out to the Capitol Police. And she said basically to the Capitol Police regarding the words of Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Q-Ball, if there was any other workplace or school, Marge would be investigated for terroristic threats. And went on to say that she was, in fact, deeply worried. Precisely on Twitter, she said, I'm concerned about the mental health of my colleague from Georgia and would like Capitol Police to address her dangerous threats in my workplace, just as we would in any school or job site. We cannot let calls for gun violence go unchecked. The question is, will anything be done? But Representative Stevens has done the right thing because she has put it out in the public. She's put it out into the public consciousness so that no one, if Marge or one of her mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking followers decides to get all frisky with an AR-15 or some other firearm, let's not be limiting their choices because God knows they've got a billion of them. Then people can say, "Look, she tried to warn us." Now, will one of Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Q-Ball's freakish staff members go after Representative Stevens? I don't know. But she did the right thing. And Dean Phillips, also a member of the House from Minnesota, I think, Dean Phillips said, if suggesting Second Amendment rights should be used against Democrats doesn't immediately compel Kevin McCarthy to take disciplinary action, I suggest Congress take action against both of them. This madness must be addressed, or violence will ensue. I think it might have been slightly better if he had made clear that the violence that will ensue will not be instigated by anybody that she's threatening, but by the fact that, by her or one of hers. Professor Lawrence Tribe didn't mince words. He simply said, because, you know, he's all tenured and works at Harvard and stuff, batshit crazy and extremely dangerous, Marjorie Taylor Greene suggests Second Amendment rights should be used against Democrats. The walls of her cell, office, should be thickly padded. And of course, who was it? It was Nitwit Nero himself, wasn't it? During the 2016 campaign, wasn't it?
And of course, maybe we'll need to use our Second Amendment remedies.
Wasn't that Nitwit Nero? It's kind of hard to tell. So many of them do it.
it's where they it's a very deadly whoopee for them. It's their binky. I wouldn't be surprised if they have like little NRA teething rings for little children of maggots. But it would be nice if somebody could step in and, as George Carlin once suggested, check her calendar. Or maybe she is, and I think this would more likely be the case, maybe she's completely sane, whatever that means. Maybe she knows exactly what she's doing. Maybe this is to set up a false dialogue. Well, you know, we can have Second Amendment remedies, and we can have a civil war, or we can have the national divorce that I've been talking about. There is no constitutional, no statutory, no administrative, nothing provision for a national divorce. But you know that. Jesus, what an idiot. What a dangerous fool. And of course, I'm sure in the wild, bizarre shriekings inside her brain pan, everything would be hunky-dory because she'd just start passing out AR-15s to her kids, and, you know, they'd hold off the ravening hordes of Yankees. I wonder if the Capitol Police will do anything. Given what's gone on in the past year, and knowing that there were warnings, we know now, there were warnings about what the MAGAs were up to prior to January 6th, might they go and have a little chat? Or would that endanger their jobs when Margie started complaining, I'm being persecuted for talking about my Second Amendment rights. See, they're not just grabbing their guns, they're grabbing my words about guns. It's worrisome. And let's stay in Georgia for a minute, because... Well, using Lawrence Tribe's language, batshit crazy. Let's check in with Herschel Walker, trying to defeat Senator Raphael Warnock in the upcoming election for Senator Warnock's own full 6-year term in the Senate. Well. The Washington Post found a 2020 podcast with Herschel Walker in it where he claimed to have a mist, M-I-S-T, mist, that'll, quote, kill any COVID on your body. Is Herschel Walker spraying himself down with Lysol spray? I don't know. There is no such spray, but nonetheless, well, he did it while talking to the Beckerhead, since we referenced him earlier.
So I'm like, I'm confused because they don't want to change anything right now. You know what, Glenn, I'm going to say something, I probably shouldn't chatter there. Do you know right now I have something that can bring you into a building that would clean you from COVID as you walk through this dry mess. As you walk through the door, it would kill any COVID on your body.
And bless his heart, even the Beckerhead's kind of sitting there with his lips pursed and, and he keeps moving his head from one side to the other like a cow looking at a new gate.
EPA, FDA approved. When you leave, it will kill the virus as you leave this here product. Then I have something, you can go and spray down this product. Do you know they don't want to talk about that? They don't want to hear about that.
I will tell you,
oh man, you know, You know you're on the loop-de-loop express when the Becker has it. I tell you, somebody give me something in my fucking IFB. What do I do here?
I'll tell you, Herschel, that, you know, the more investigation we've done, you know, we're like, we're over 150 days now of into our 15-day flatten the curve experiment. And I look at it and there's something more going on, and it is teaching us to be controlled. It is teaching us that we're going to change everything, and it's frightening.
That's what he's got. You'll notice he said nothing about the special dry mist.
Truly frightening. You're in the restaurant.
Well, seeing as how you use the word urine, Glenn, maybe that's the special mist. Maybe it's dried pee-pee. Because we talked about the fact that the maggots are out there pushing pee-pee shipping. Or, I don't know, guzzling. Maybe there's a swirly straw involved in order to stop the Rona. Wish I was kidding. Got a special mist. Now this was way back in 2020, and still no updates on the special mist that kills the Rona. Deader than Pharaoh's cat.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, I know the primary hasn't been had, and maybe Brother Bishop Steve from Georgia is Herschel the only one out there running for this Republican nomination, or is he some sort of a shiny object to distract from the serious candidate who might actually have a chance of beating Senator Warnock? Little help there. You don't mind.
Yeah.
But that's Herschel Walker and Marjorie Traitor Gangrene. And of course we had the story where, and it's weird how a number will get mentioned and then it'll show up. It's like some sort of bizarre maggot numerology that's out there. And so you'll recall that, what was it, last Friday, was it? Ann's boy, Neil Gorsuch, Associate Justice on the Supreme Court of the United States, said that 300,000 Americans die annually from the flu, which was multiplied by 10 from the actual number. 300,000, 50 million Cronkites. Yeah, 300,000. Well, lo and behold, here's that magic number, 300 again. And this time it's Mike, Mr. Meth Pillow Lindell. I don't know how you're supposed to get sleep on a pillow filled with meth. I just kind of lost there. He went on some wingnut outlet called Real America's Voice. To talk about how the election was done stolt. Remember, August is long past, but Mike, Mr. Meth Pillow Lindell said that Nitwit Nero would be back in the Oval Office by August of 2021. And then he said, no, I didn't. And everybody said, yeah, you did. Well, no, I didn't say which August. Mm-hmm. Well, he's still pulling together his evidence. Because there's so much evidence to pull together about how the election was done stolt. From Nitwit Nero. Yeah. Turns out, a lot of people in on it. A lot of people.
everything you're going to see over these next 7 months to get rid of the machines. You're going to see the Supreme Court case coming out. All these great things, everybody. By the way, you can find more at frankspeech.com. I'll put that little out, put that out there. There are so many.
Frank's Peach. Is this a fruit stand? I don't know.
I'm more optimistic today than I have been yesterday, the day before that. I'm on an incline like this. Why? Because it's so amazing.
Yeah, he is on an incline, and his head's at the low end. Well, never mind.
All the things that we have, we already have all the pieces of the puzzle. And you talk about evidence. We had enough evidence to put everybody in prison for life, 300 and some million people. We had that all the way back to November, December.
300 and some million people to put in prison for life. Gotta wonder what Mr. Meth Pillow thinks the actual population of the United States is. But it's that whole one-upping game that Republicans have to play with each other, maggots and the like. Associate Justice of the Supreme Court says there's 300,000 dead from the flu every year. Huh! Flu? Well, there's more than 300 million illegal voters in this country. Which basically boils down to the only people who are legal voters are people who vote the way Mike Lindell wants them to vote.
But what we have are these other things that had to happen, which was all evil revealing itself. I mean, evil's popping up like pocket gophers. I mean, they pop their heads up, it's whack-a-mole, right? I mean, it's everywhere. And that all had to be revealed.
Pocket gophers? Popping up like pocket gophers. Whack-a-mole. Maybe we've got a better understanding now of why he says the things he says. Those pocket gophers can make you a little squirrely? Gophery? Something like that? Oh, and by the way, thank you, Brother Bishop Steve, doing some ad hoc research department work. 2022 Senate election in Georgia, Gary Black, Agriculture Commissioner of Georgia, Josh Clark, former state representative and businessman, Kelvin King, U.S. Air Force veteran, businessman, and founder of Osprey Management, Latham Sadler, former director of intelligence programs on the National Security Council under President Trump and former Navy SEAL officer, Herschel Walker, former running back for the Georgia Bulldogs, that's national champion Georgia Bulldogs, damn it, former professional football player for Donald Trump, co-chair of the President's Council on Sports, Fitness, and Nutrition, and CEO of Renaissance Man Food Services, and Reese Wright McDonald, political writer. You got to wonder which one of those is actually going to win the primary. Because I just have this sneaking suspicion that Herschel Walker is there for entertainment purposes only. I could be wrong. Thank you, Brother Bishop Steve.
Revealed so that we can fix it.
Yeah, okay. 300 plus million illegal voters. Did you know? I didn't know. But a guy who sells pillows says it, and has to be true, right? Funny thing is, he said, and you talk about evidence. But then he didn't talk about any, well, evidence. I know, it gets a little rough sometimes. It is prayer meeting Wednesday, though, so we got some prayer meeting Wednesday stuff, and it's a couple of these are doozies. Let's check in with the Serbian Orthodox Church. The Serbian Orthodox Church has a patriarch. Smash the patriarchy, y'all. And he only got to become patriarch of the Serbian Orthodox Church because his predecessor, who was like 90. Well, he shuffled off this mortal coil and went to his long home in November of 2020, having gotten the Rona. And that got Patriarch Porphyria, born Pervoslav Perich, 60 years old, elevated to the Patriarchate, or Patriarchy, I don't know, of the Serbian Orthodox Church. And hell wouldn't hold him, but he must go to an illegal white nationalist Serbian rally that has long since been made illegal in the country. Yeah, and so in going to that rally that basically is a hate fest against majority Muslim Bosniaks and majority Catholic Croats, the Republika Srpska festival is basically a big nationalist party, part of a movement. And so the celebration is technically legally banned, but they say fuck it and have it anyway. And they had a military parade and nationalist songs. And you know what else they had there at their party? Their big rally, their celebration? Lots and lots and lots of Rona. And so Patriarch Porphyria, doing my best here. Porfirice? Well, he got him some Rona. Yeah, he's tested positive. There seems to be something about being the leader of the Serbian Orthodox Church that means you get the Rona, because the guy that this guy, the interim guy that this guy replaced, also got the Rona. He recovered. He had quarantined Porfirice back in March 2021 because he came in contact with a COVID-positive priest. No word on what that contact was. But somewhere along the way, he gave his Easter address and talked about respecting the recommendations of medicine, but not so much for recommending the requirements of the law, because God knows that war back in the 90s was, I guess it wasn't bloody enough. So that's one gospel sharp. Meanwhile, back here at home, we've got a rabbi who attended the maggot insurrection against constitutional governance in the United States, and Michael Stepakoff, identified as a messianic rabbi, might need a little explication on that. I don't know. Decided to go walk about in the Capitol during the insurrection. Went around taking pictures. And has entered a guilty plea to one count of parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol building. That's the go-to charge for, and it's a misdemeanor. He said he went in there because he wanted a better picture of what was going on. You know what? We all got a pretty good picture, even those of us who did not violate the law or try to participate in a coup against the Constitution of the United States. And so prosecutors are actually recommending for him to spend 14 whole days in the stir. But he's instead telling the court that he should have to do nothing more than pay a $50 fine. You know why? Well, he found a case, or somebody found a case, of a woman, Marina Medvin, I mean, that's his lawyer, a woman who was arrested for protesting Brett Kavanaugh. She was charged there in D.C. for demonstrating in the Senate gallery, but the case was dismissed as soon as she paid a $50 fine. So a guy who was actually part of a massive insurrection doesn't realize that he has been given a huge gift in the form of nothing more than 14 days in jail. The woman who protested Brett Kavanaugh, by the way, was identified by Newsweek as part of a progressive women's group. Odds are, I think that's my best guess, is that's probably code pink. Prosecutors wrote, at no point in on January 6th did Michael Stepakoff, this is his pettifogger. At no point on January 6th did Michael Stepakoff comprehend the magnitude of the behavior of the violent individuals in the crowd of Trump's protesters. Mr. Stepakoff immediately brushed the stories off as a combination of media embellishment and infiltration by, here it comes, by Antifa or other malicious actors who were trying to make Trump supporters look bad. Nobody has to try. You don't have to do anything. Be silent and wait. They'll do what the maggots will do all the work for you. Lord. Give his pettifogger credit for some brass. She filed paperwork with the court that said that, well, the prosecutors want to punish him for things he didn't even do and conduct he was unaware of. And it would be unethical and inequitable to actually make this guy own up to the crime he committed, because it was everything he did was the results of a politically heated rally that got out of hand. Yeah, poor baby. There he was, just wandering around Washington, D.C. on January the 6th in the middle of a pandemic and just got swept up by events. Bullshit! Yeah. So you're kind of left with the, well, hope he at least gets the 14 days. And the pettifogger said, no, we don't have to send him to jail. The general public is deterred from ever doing this again because of the relentless prosecution of the Capitol riot. Oh, my God. 700 and some odd people have been prosecuted out of 12,000. The longest any of them have ever gotten in jail is 5 years in federal prison. And he's actually pleading ignorantia juris, ignorance of the law. And anybody who's ever had a cup of coffee in law school, and a lot of people who haven't, knows that there's a phrase to deal with that in Latin. Ignorantia juris non excusat. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. And I didn't know it was illegal for me to follow a bunch of insurrectionists in who were wrecking the Capitol and go walk about in there and take me some pictures. Probably the wrong accent. Steve tells me Messianic Jew equals Jews for Jesus. Oh, dear. The prosecutors, on the other hand, claim at best Stepakoff turned a blind eye multiple times to the signs of misconduct, violence, and danger all around him as he approached and entered the Capitol in the midst of the siege that succeeded in halting the peaceful transfer of power. At worst, Stepakoff understood precisely what he was a part of, and his claims to the contrary now are disingenuous. Please, Your Honor, give him 14 long days. Y'all, they're going to do it again. I get tired of saying it. You probably get tired of hearing it. Y'all, they're going to do it again. Hey, look. Didn't get nothing but 14 days. Ain't so bad. Shucks. Oh, yeah, okay, Arnold, that's a cowbell. Arnold noting, I only played with it because it was there, not because I wanted to. Yeah. That's it. That's it, Arnold. Well played, my friend. But, you know, a little prosecution here, a little prosecution there. I don't know if the maggots are learning a lesson out of this. But a woman from Kansas recently addressed the court. Esther Schwimmer, 56 years old, just like Rabbi Stepakov. Well, that's where the similarity, well, not really where the similarities end, but she's 56. She's a retired hairdresser. Ironically, from Leavenworth, Kansas. Well, she and her gal pal, Jennifer Parks, aged 61 years, went all the way from Kansas to Washington, D.C., to participate in the insurrection against constitutional governance, the Constitution itself, and the seat of that constitutional governance. Yeah. She and her gal pal had a sentencing hearing in front of U.S. District Judge Dabney Friedrich. Dabney Friedrich said, Miss Schwimmer was part of the large, violent crowd that reached the U.S. Capitol just over a year ago. And despite what she said at the time of the offense, her actions were in no way an act of patriotism, nor was it an exercise of her First Amendment rights. She was clearly trespassing. She had no right to be there, and her actions indirectly subjected law enforcement officers whose job it is to protect the Capitol and members of Congress and others who were inside the Capitol to great risk. They claimed that, you know, they just walked by the front of the Capitol. There were no cops there. Nobody told them to stop, so they went on in. Mm-hmm. But Lord, once she'd entered that guilty plea, she went there to overturn the government, wearing her little maggot boggin. Her little Make America Great Again boggin, all red, white, and blue. I mean, forgive me, I despise these people. I should be a better person, but I can't help it. But, oh, she had a road to Damascus moment right there in the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia. And she said, I'm deeply ashamed of my actions on that day. Nothing about it was Christ-like. I hope with time I can forgive myself. Lady, forgiving yourself is the least of your problems. Hope I can forgive myself, huh? Well, yeah, I'm sure you'll forgive yourself as quick as you get a call from Fox News TV Radio Rwanda or Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, or Real America's Voice or Newsmuck. Or, and they'll pat you on your little maggot head and tell you you've done the right thing. She sat down and wrote a letter to the judge. Dabney Friedrich. She said,
I made a stupid choice on 6 January, walking in the Capitol. That choice I will carry for the rest of my life. I wish only to disappear into obscurity for the remainder of my years. I'm determined to stay away from politics and work on trying to make amends for my conduct on January 6th. I'm deeply sorry that what started out as an act of patriotism on my part ended up so wrong.
It did not start out as an act of patriotism. It was never an act of patriotism at all. Taking to the streets because more people voted for the other candidate than voted for your guy is not patriotic. But Lordy, like so many others, she was sucked up in the moment. And there she was at the Capitol. Well, by God, we the people of the United States are not going to put up with the shenanigans of your Esther Schwimmers and your Jennifer Parkses. No, by God, we're not. They're going to have to face the music. They're going to have to deal with the consequences of their treacherous actions. You know, or not. She was facing up to 6 whole months in federal confinement. Yeah. Well, she and her pal Jennifer, they're going to do 2 whole years of probation. 2 whole years. 2 long, long years of probation that will probably be unsupervised. And her and Jen will be back there in Leavenworth, clinking the glasses and talking about how Donald Trump's the real president. And 60 long, tortuous hours of community service. Might have to do some free hairdressing or something. God, I tell you, when the long arm of the law comes after a Donald Trump supporter who's actively participated in a treacherous coup to topple the government of the United States, well, by God, they mean business. Sorry. Am I being too harsh? Should she have been given a pat on her little MAGA boggin and told to go and sin no more?
My actions were not Christ-like at all.
At what point in time did anybody tell her that they were? God. Oh, well. Y'all, yeah, I think you've heard this part before. They're going to do it again. Because why not? I don't think the judicial system can even handle what they've got in front of them, let alone something more. Mm-hmm. But there's a little bit of good news, I guess. Enter one Caleb Cole. Caleb Cole is the leader of a gang of neo-Nazis called Atomwaffen Division. 25 years old, so I guess he'll be 32 when he gets out. Caleb Cole. He ran, according to NBC News, he ran a rather extensive harassment campaign that was directed toward Jewish journalists. He was convicted on conspiracy charges, mailing threatening communications, interfering with a federally protected activity. And apparently the niche that Atomwaffen Division occupies is to harass Jewish journalists or journalists of color. And they would send posters that said, "You've been visited by your local Nazis. Your actions have consequences. Our patience has its limits. Two can play at this game. These people have names and addresses." Good. Good. I mean, it's only 7 years. But it's something. At least it's not 2 years of probation and 60 hours of community service. Or a $50 fine. I know. I know. You know, one of the things that we've talked about is that the for-profit media did such a rotten-ass job of pointing out the energy behind the campaign of Glenn Youngkin for governor in the Commonwealth of Virginia. He happily associated with himself with practically every hate group short of the Klan. And he will soon be the governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia. And he will go to war against the LGBTQ, QQIA plus community. And he has announced who will be his Secretary of the Commonwealth, sort of a Secretary of State position. The governor gets to nominate that individual as opposed to them having to run for office. Glenn Youngkin has nominated K. Coles James. Well, hang on tight. You know, if you're a member of a marginalized community, a black person, a brown person, hang on to your voter registration card, because K. Coles James is probably not going to be your friend. Among other things, she has said in the past that the For the People Act, an effort to make sure that people can vote in the United States of America, it's a federal takeover of elections. It's a threat to election integrity. You know, if you define election integrity as being able to stop people who are not fans of your cause from being able to vote. The left's real agenda isn't about helping minority voters. It's about helping themselves. They believe voter fraud favors their candidates, plain and simple. Yeah. She's a hardcore maggot. She really wanted an administration job in the maggot administration. She had risen to be actually risen to be president of the, wait for it, Heritage Foundation. Mm-hmm. She's part of the Council for National Policy. That's kind of an umbrella group for a bunch of right-wing organizations and movements. At the Council for National Policy, she said, "Today, as we're close to losing this nation as we've ever been, make no mistake about it, this November is not about winning or losing an election. It's about winning or losing our country." Because, see, since November 2020, they lost their country. Yeah. This does not bode well. She's a big believer in, as noted, voter suppression. Maybe she, like Mike, Mr. Meth Pillow Lindell, thinks that there's more than 300 million criminal voter frauders out there, and we got the evidence to get them all. I wonder how long it'll take for people in Virginia, especially the civilized parts, to realize what a hot mess their state's about to become. I don't know. Oh, hey, Suman. Haven't heard from Suman for a while. How you doing, my friend? What the fuck, Robin? Ms. Schwimmer's sorry for walking in the Capitol? She's not sorry for insurrection against her country? I hate these asswipes. I understand. And Stephen New York says, "I'm ashamed of my actions. Dot, dot, dot. I can't believe I got caught." Equally true. And Matt in San Francisco says, subject line, insurrectionist, "I'm waiting for some to be sentenced to writing 'I'm sorry' 100 times on the chalkboard." In Bart Simpson-like. "I will not participate in a coup. I will not participate in a coup. I will write it 100 times. And it better all be spelled correctly. Or you'll get another month and a half of probation." Y'all, they're going to do it again. Been a heck of a day. Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, had kind of a meltdown. He's been having a rough few days. You know, first there was the fact that his daughter did a TikTok video that went viral. And among other things, she pointed out that they photoshopped her clothing, thereby, you know, body shaming her in the family Christmas card. And that wasn't quite enough. She has decided to come out. She's bi. And I feel horrible for her. Not because she's bi, but because she's the daughter of a relentless, merciless, soulless, miserable, hateful, homophobe in the form of her daddy, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. What must it be like to be a 16-year-old girl and know that your daddy hates who you are? Of course, if you spend any time on message boards where little gay kids and little trans kids congregate or talk about their problems, it doesn't take long to find post after post after post after post saying, "My parents hate me. My parents threw me out. My parents disowned me." Now, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, and his wife Heidi, whom he could not be bothered to defend against the attacks, the verbal assault of Donald Trump, they're probably not going to throw their daughter out. No, No. Still, it's not going to be easy for her. No amount of wealth, privilege, or anything like that can... No. I hope they don't try to subject her to some sort of goddamn conversion therapy. But he melted down repeatedly yesterday. He and a bunch of other Republican senators gathered to blather. And one of the reporters said, "Why aren't y'all wearing masks?" And that's when Raffaelito melted down.
"On the question of hypocrisy you just asked, you people at the podium are speaking... well, just once I'd like to see a reporter say to Joe Biden when he..." And he started pounding on the podium. "When he stands at the damn podium in the White House without a mask, 'Mr. President, why aren't you wearing a mask?' Just once I'd like to see you say to Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, when she stands..." And again, he's banging on the podium. "At the podium with no mask, Ms. Psaki, why don't you have a mask? The questions are only directed at one side, and I got to say the American people see the hypocrisy." Well, Rafe, can I call you Rafe? The reason only the questions are only being put to one side is only one side is out there trying to help the pandemic spread and spread and spread and spread. I wonder if West Virginia Governor, make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice, I wonder if he would wonder why Raffaelito and his Senate pals weren't wearing masks. "For the love of great God above, why can't you get your shot and get your booster and get your wear your mask? It's all you got to do. It ain't a big thing." But again, Raffaelito's probably having a rough day. And to be fair, I do. I get weary of our side's inability to take our own side in a fight. Addressing the question of some of the things that Joe Biden said in his speech yesterday in Atlanta, Jake Tapper had Senate Majority Whip Dick Durbin on CNN to talk about the speech. Let's go there in a minute. It'll take a second. I saw an article, an opinion piece earlier, attacking Joe Biden for his speech is probably not a good look for Democrats. And we talked about this last night. He was damned if he did or damned if he didn't. So, Jake Tapper.
"Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's self-imposed deadline to change filibuster rules to help Democrats pass election reform legislation without any Republican support necessary. Now we're learning the president is expected to keep the pressure on Senate Democrats after a rather sharp speech yesterday in Atlanta where Biden said anyone who votes against election reform or even against changing the rules to pass election reform legislation is on the side of Confederate traitors and segregationists from the 1960s. Let's discuss."
All right, Jake Tapper, you're a smart guy. Explain to us how that's not true. Explain how doing the same thing as Bull Connor is not being on the side of Bull Connor. Explain how doing the same things as George Wallace is not being on the side of George Wallace. Lester Maddox. On and on.
Discuss this with the Senate Majority Whip, Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois. And Senator, President Biden is turning up the heat on Senate Democrats. But here's what your Republican colleagues are hearing from their leader.
Yesterday, he shouted that if you disagree with him...
Now, this is, of course, Moscow Mitch McConnell.
You're George Wallace. George Wallace.
Yeah, George Wallace, you know, used to be governor of the state of Alabama, Mitch. The same state where you and me was done born.
State where you were a child. At a time when Jim Crow was in full force and effect.
If you don't pass the laws he wants, you're Bull Connor. He compared, listen to this, a bipartisan majority of senators to literal traitors. How profoundly, profoundly unpresidential. Look, I've known, liked, and personally respected Joe Biden for many years.
Mm-hmm.
I did not recognize the man at the podium yesterday.
Are there not, Senator Durbin, are there not legitimate reasons that a senator, a Democratic senator, might be concerned that changing the filibuster rule will set a horrible precedent that Republicans will exploit to do something like pass a nationwide abortion ban or something like that, without saying that Kyrsten Sinema or Joe Manchin are like Bull Connor or Jefferson Davis?
Well, I mean, Jake, you're a smart guy, buddy. I can't believe that you don't realize that when the day comes that a Senate Republican majority decides that they want to pass a nationwide abortion ban, the filibuster will be deader than Pharaoh's cat before you can say heartbeat bill. Because that's the actual history here. But that doesn't play into the for-profit media narrative, does it? It doesn't work with the whole concept of both-siderism. And shucks, Jake Tapper, dang. I mean, he's got white privilege, he's got wealth privilege, he's got male privilege. He ain't got nothing in the world to worry about, Jake Tapper don't. So, I mean, what's a nationwide abortion ban to Jake Tapper? What's anything? A couple of million dollars a year will insulate you from a lot. I'm just trying to figure out how doing the same things Bull Connor did or would have done makes you not like Bull Connor. And make no mistake, I guess he won't say it out loud or anything, but yeah, the filibuster is a racist tool. The filibuster is as undemocratic a piece of governmental procedure as you can find. I ran across an article by Jack Holmes over at Esquire. The filibuster is made up and stupid, and so is the made up stupid history to justify it. The filibuster was created when Cain and Abel were locked in those fraternal spats about who'd made a better sacrifice to God. The filibuster dates back to Sumerian debates over how to regulate the trade of obsidian and lapis lazuli in the Fertile Crescent. The filibuster can be traced back to ancient Roman custom of filibusta, wherein the tribune of the plebs could block Senate initiative he feared would add to inflation. The filibuster emerged during the Hundred Years' War as England and France each demanded any peace treaty receive the backing of a supermajority of noblemen in both countries.
There are cave drawings at Lascaux that depict the very first use of the filibuster. And then says, these backstories are only marginally less true than the one Senator Joe Manchin offered on Monday. The filibuster has been the tradition of the Senate here in 232 years now. We need to be very cautious what we do. That's what we've always had for 232 years. That's what makes us different than any other place in the world. God Almighty, Shirley Jackson's The Lottery has come to life in the Senate of the United States in the form of Joe Manchin. There's always been a lottery. Lottery in June, corn heavy soon. It's always been that way. There's always been a lottery. And then everybody gets some rocks together and everybody draws lots and one of them gets the piece of paper with the black dot on it and everybody takes their rocks and goes and bashes that person's brain in so there'll be a good corn harvest. Hey, we've always had a filibuster. And as Jack Holmes points out, the whole reason for the filibuster is because nobody put a method in the actual Constitution for how to end debate. It took 50 years from the ratification of the Constitution before anybody filibustered anything. Jesus. But never mind. The point here of having Dick Durbin on is to get him to say something ugly about Joe Biden, because, oh well. You know what? If Joe Biden wants to get absolutely apoplectic and bug-eyed and tear at his hair and shriek and hold his hands to heaven and implore thunderbolts and lightning, very, very frightening me, Galileo Galileo, for the sake of voting rights, I am absolutely okay with it. If he wants to say that Mitch McConnell is like Bull Connor, I will say that it is a reflection of truth. Only because it is.
I think what it boils down to, Jake, is this. Take a look at the Senate. Take a look at our productivity. Take a look at our responsiveness to national issues. And what you're going to find is a big, empty, quiet chamber that doesn't go to work anymore. Why don't they go to work? Because everything requires 60 votes / beat a filibuster. And it's a 50-50 Senate. Even a majority doesn't work. You need 60 votes. And as a consequence, we don't respond to virtually anything. And I think what you're hearing from President Biden is a reflection of several things. The gravity of the issue when you have a former president of the United States with a massively bruised ego who's wandering around saying the election results were stolen, which is a big lie, and firing up state legislatures to change laws and restrict voting opportunities for Americans. This is as fundamental as it gets in a democracy. Joe Biden came to the United States Senate on a civil rights platform. That's why he ran in the first place. And the fact that he shows emotion when it comes to the voting rights of Americans, I'm glad he did.
But you're comparing, or Biden is comparing, and you're not criticizing, the idea of a legislator reducing the number of days for early voting from 15 to 10, or wanting voters to present a photo ID before they vote. You're comparing that to Bull Connor, who literally set dogs upon civil rights protesters. George Wallace, who said
Jake, honey, do you think they stopped breeding attack dogs in the Confederacy? Do you think that they don't do that now because they just became better people? It took the force of law and the massive powers of the federal government to make them stop turning loose attack dogs and using fire hoses. And they would do it in a damn minute if they think they can. I don't know.
Would you rather have a fire hose turned on you or be charged with a goddamn felony for handing somebody a bottle of water? How about it, Jake? What do you say? I find the felony actually more of a disincentive to voting than the fire hoses. Stupid liberal girl, what are you talking about? Yeah.
Segregation today, segregation forever, I'm paraphrasing. Or Jefferson Davis, the president of the traitorous Confederacy. I mean,
well, at least he admits they were traitors.
It is stark, and I will concede that point. But don't overlook the reality that in 20 different states governed and led by Republicans in legislature and the governorship, in each and every one of them, they are taking step by weary step to make sure that Americans, fewer Americans, are going to vote. Who in the world sets out as a political agenda reducing the vote in America? Exactly the opposite should be our goal by both political parties. And yes, that was the goal of the segregationists, was to reduce the opportunity for African Americans to vote, well documented over spans of decade after decade after decade. So yes, there are parallels there. Perhaps the president went a little too far in his rhetoric. Some of us do. But the
See, that's the part of this that just drove me bananas. Perhaps he went too far in his rhetoric. Y'all, he didn't go far enough. He should have hammered on Mitch McConnell and Joe Well, we talked about this a little bit last night. He should have hammered on Mitch McConnell and those Republicans until their grandparents felt it. The people who are willing to put bodies on the line for the right to vote would have respected that. And I think a number of them still respect it. I got another clip here. I don't know if we'll get to it. From my filthy morning habit, in which the other Joe, there's three Joes now. There's Joe Biden, Joe Manchin, and Joe Scar. Well, Joe Scar knows why Stacey Abrams wasn't at Joe Biden's speech. It's all just so very, very conventional. Sometimes we get a little overheated. What was the line that Barry Goldwater used in 1964? Something, something in defense of liberty is no vice. Yeah. Stand by. I am very nearly beside myself. Oh my God, it's Lady B. How in the world are you?
I'm fine. I haven't caught the Rona yet, so there's that.
Well, you're ahead of AOC in that regard.
Yeah, I think because she does have to interact with so many people.
And went down to Florida and swanned around a little bit. I mean,
probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah. And I look. I mean, she's grown. You know, I get it. She can do whatever she wants, and she knows better. But I compare it to like some of my some of the people in the building I work in. They're kids, you know. They're going to school and then they're coming right back out because they're bringing it home. And I've got a friend in particular, and they've all been vaccinated. But the one who caught it, the child, she wasn't 18 now. She wasn't boosted yet and got it from her job. And the whole family's been laid out for 2 weeks now. And, you know, not
hospital
laid out. And I mean, it's so sad because they are so extra careful and so meticulous and so right on top of things. So it can just happen. And I mean, for her, you know, 18, but when you're talking about little ones, you know, how are you going to keep a mask on kids out there screaming and playing? I just think it's just going to be, we're just going to keep going around and around in circles until we can get enough kids vaccinated or something. Because there's just some people you can't control their behavior. You know, they want to go eat. They want to go out to eat. And the person sitting next to them might have coughed just a little bit. And, you know, your mask is off, you're eating. And I don't know. I really don't know how that goes. How are you?
I'm doing reasonably well. It's been a heck of a year and a half.
Yeah,
as you can well imagine.
Absolutely.
But at this point in time, my goal is to stay Rona free and hope that I am. I mean, I got coughed at mm-hmm. back on Saturday, and I'm a nervous wreck because now I'm going.
Isn't everything like that? I swear, I thought I had a scratchy throat last week, and you're just sitting there like, oh my God.
And I'm
an irrational person.
Right. And all of a sudden, you're George in Seinfeld going, is it lupus? Yeah.
No, or Dr. House. It's lupus. It's not lupus. But yes, and I will keep to your given name, and if I slip up, you punch me through this phone, okay? Because I know you are on a new journey and a new life. And,
no, I ain't going to be no punching. You're fine. You're good.
You know, I want to call you Robin. Robin is your given name. So that's a good thing. See, that's a good thing. Makes it easy. But I'm not doing much. I was actually a little bit frustrated yesterday, so I changed it. I told you I cut everything out. The, you know, going on to other websites, posting, listening to, I just, everything out. I would listen to MSNBC, but other than that, I just wasn't really listening to anybody because I felt like I was coming back at people and saying nasty things and just talking out my ass and not really taking the time to just shut up and think, you know, okay, just shut up and let this wash over you or observe the moment. You know, be present and stop worrying and ragging about things that you have no control over. And I really needed to do that. So I did. I did for almost a whole year, didn't I?
Yes. I mean, you had people worried about you.
No, I was not. Gee, yeah, I can imagine that. And if I had died of Rona, I would have let you know. No,
wait a minute.
We've been very careful. I've just been very careful and, you know, I say, I got a family member, one of my sisters is kind of sick and, not with Corona, something about her heart. So that's a bit of a concern for us. You know, we're just, she'll be all right. But with the hospitals backing up, you know, it's like, yeah, we're just, and that would have really set me off, I think last year. But now I'm learning there's stuff I don't have control over. And I really just have to trust and believe that the very hands that will be operating on my sister are the hands that God made. And, you know, God made those people. That's the whole thing about the vaccination. It's like, yes, you can see evil and maliciousness all around the world. But when it comes to something so incredibly important, something that somebody studied hard for and paid a lot for, you know, they want to do the best they can. And, you know, so I'm hoping the heart doctors and everything, you know, those are hands God made. And the same thing with the people who busted their asses and sweat blood and cried tears and had fears and decided we can do this. You know, we can fix this, and we can do it relatively easy. Just give us money and time and the tools. And they got on it. But they've been doing it since, I want to say, 2002, I think, with SARS.
Oh, yeah.
So it was simply a stuff that was already there. They just kind of tweaked it and added some things to it. I mean, mRNA technology is incredible. I mean, if people think about getting vaccinated, they got to understand what this isn't even like anything we've had before. You know, so this is... I never understand that these people can hold a fucking cell phone, you know, and not understand that the technology they're holding is the same technology these virologists and epidemiologists used when they were, you know, communicating with each other and when they were creating stuff on computers and when they were all of that, the miracles that we have around. I love to say magnets and miracles. It's a Pink Floyd line, but anyway. You know, we live in a world of magnets and miracles. And all the things that we see, you know, they're all connected together. Nobody's out there trying to kill anybody or poison anybody. They just want to help us. And now they're given the chance to shine because we need it. And so I'm hoping that people who feel like I said, the hand, you know, God, the hands that made you made these people, and not all of them are out to kill you, you know? So... I just think it just needs to be said like that.
I think, frankly, I think that's a beautiful expression of it, and you're likely to go further with that than, you know, me throwing a hissy. And no, that's gorgeous. And it might be a rhetoric that would reach people, because, you know, I've sat here flummoxed since, you know, February-ish of 2020. And watching this stuff unfold and still watching it every day. Like I said, when the news came out about our governor here having it, immediately there was somebody there saying, "So, you got both shots and you got the booster. Still got it. Huh, how about that?" It's like there's some sort of syllogistic dropout or failure of the transmission. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, but the thing is, and I'm not very good at analogies, but it would be like buying a pair of fireproof pants and then running into the fire to test it. Now, you know, according to the instructions or whatever, the manufacturer, the pants are fireproof and therefore, forget about the rest of the body, I guess. But let's say you got an outfit. It's fireproof, but then there's still that guarantee. There's still those things. But you can't be in fire that long anyway, and you shouldn't be. There are things that you should obey. So, yeah, people have been vaccinated and boosted, but if they're hanging around people who have not been, then they're going to get it. You do it long enough, you're going to get it.
Can I ask you to draw a distinction, please? And that's this. Okay, so you got some people, you know, I don't know what's in it. And Lord, Tracy gave me a beautiful little analogy earlier. Yeah, well, I don't know what's in the 11 secret herbs and spices, but I'm still going. But okay, so draw a distinction, please, between, you know, I don't know what's in it, I don't know if I want, and then there's the people, because, you know, this story was yesterday, a guy telling people to drink their own pee as either a preventive or a cure for COVID.
I think there are people who love to be contrary to contrarian's sake, and I think there are sociopaths, too. God knows we're surrounded by sociopaths. I think of that show Jackass. Not so much the guys who were doing stupid stunts, but the people who were watching it. You know, that's what when I see ridiculousness and I see all of these accidents, you know, I mean, ball-crushing accidents, you know, stupid things that people were trying to do. And I think, again, okay, those kids were stupid for filming that. The show, the producers were awful for accepting the film, but at the end of the day, it's the people who watch it that really have me puzzled. And I guess I think that about, you know, with the vaccine and everything, you know, it's, I, for the life of me, I cannot understand why people would take something that's supposed to be good for them and want to twist it. You know, with the guy talking about drinking your own urine, he doesn't believe that any more than anybody else. But there are people out there who are thinking, well, I'm going to be contrarian. I mean, I don't want that shot. That shot's dangerous. It's going to kill me. It's Joe Biden and AOC, and it's just going to. So, yeah, I'll take a chance and drink my own piss, knowing good and damn well that your own pee isn't going to do anything. It's just not. So, again, these people are just, like I said, I think they just like, they get into it. They get off on it, you know, because there's no other reason to explain why doing something completely opposite of what you would normally do, like injecting bleach or taking ivermectin, is somehow going to work better than a shot from a medical professional.
Well, I mean, there's always that other thing. You know, it's a good dollar. The guy who's hustling the pee drinking, apparently has a pretty good racket. He goes around the country calling himself the vaccine police.
Wow. I don't know. I guess it's just like anybody. Anybody who's up there selling stuff, again, is taking advantage of the rubes. And where are these people? Why are we allowing them to crawl out of the woodwork? It's just amazing to me. How can you be that sociopathic? Where does that come from? Are we raising a generation? Well, these are older than kids, but there was something. Maybe it happened after World War II, between World War II and Vietnam, where some people just. No, it was way before then. I can't tell you.
Oh, hell,
I have
you
no
live,
idea why.
No, you live in the American West. I mean, there were guys who went from town to town with wagons and bottles of basically pure alcohol with some, I don't know, snake scales in it or whatever, and sold it mm-hmm. as a cure for everything. I mean, I think it's kind of baked into our idea of capitalism. But you know, you mentioned being fascinated with the people who, you know, the people who fall for this stuff. It's no secret. You know, you're there in Colorado. Do you ever find yourself just wanting to go to Lauren Bobblehead Boobert's district and just do a little people watching? You know, see if they're walking around picking their teeth with their own toenail clippings or anything like that.
I'm afraid I'm a little bit more, I don't know, I'm a little bit more straightforward than that. I would not do anything to harm the woman. I'm not interested in her district. There are a lot of places in Colorado that I would not go to. I'm not saying they're like sundown towns. It's just that there's a reason why certain towns exist the way they do, and I'm not going to bother with that. It was like my dad's fears of, you know, stopping at a hotel in Texas or Mississippi. You know, he just felt like he was going to be mistreated. So we always slept in the car, which was miserable. But I mean, that's the thing about Boebert. I will never be seen in her district if I can help it. But the one thing that I do kind of wish is that, well, I do wish that there would be something that would compromise her. Something, whether it's taxes, whether it's a 12-year-old naked boy with her husband, whether... You know, whether she gets the coronavirus, you know, I mean, so again, I wouldn't do anything to hurt the woman, but if she were to leave Congress or whatever, or leave the earth, then that's kind of okay because people like her don't only exist to deliberately hurt people and make people's lives miserable. And people like that don't deserve high honors or lots of money or good jobs. They deserve to be homeless and on the streets. You know, or miserable somewhere. So that's the long answer to that. But.
And eminently reasonable as you ever are.
No, but I gotta clock in a little bit. But I was gonna nag you about West Virginia, which I know you have had to suffer through for many years and probably a lot the past.
Well,
years.
you just nag right away.
I just am really angry that one person, again, my analogies, you've got 10 people drowning, 10 people on shore with a life raft, except the 10th person thinks, well, maybe that, you know, or the lifesavers or whatever they are, But, you know, that person, you know, I saw somewhere where that person divorced their husband, or that woman may have had an abortion when she was 15. You know, I feel that's the way it is with Manson. I mean, Sinema's just a frickin' nutcase. I don't know what's going to turn her, but I don't think she'll be as hard to turn as Manson is. But somebody is saying if Manson turns, then Sinema will turn. So that's why I'm not too worried about her. But with Joe, I mean, just overall, for the entire country, when you played those things about the 60 votes, and that, guys, we must have, you know, 50 and then some, because, and I'm like, but if you can't even get, you know, 50 out of one party, then you can't get that party's things done, you know. And if you are supposed to represent that party's interests, what's good for the people, what you think is best for the people, then, but yet you're voting against the very thing that would help the people you're supposed to represent, you know. It's gobstopper, whatever that is. I mean, I think, so, you know, he's there, but yet West Virginians put him there as if to punish the other 200 and something million of us, you know, 300 and something million of us,
well,
you know,
let's,
for
okay.
no reason.
Okay, let's be clear on one point, because, you know, he did not run unopposed.
Okay.
He had competition, and I beg you to believe me when I say that had his opponent won, we would be sitting and clutching our pearls and wringing our hands and asking, oh, why couldn't it have been Joe Manchin?
I think I read that, yes, that people said that his opponent was far worse than he was.
His opponent was a lobbyist for the drug company that dropped millions upon millions of hydrocodones on West Virginia.
Yeah. Wow. And Virginians still went up. Wait a minute. Forget about COVID. Forget about giving checks to poor people. You mean to tell me the state, and I think I remember that you guys are somehow the hub or something, or there was just some ridiculous amount of thousands of pills
yes.
just being distributed.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. So the things that were killing their family and their kids and all of that other shit, they would still be for a guy who helped basically, you know, fuck them over? You guys, I mean, really?
Oh, they may. No, the state of West Virginia elected him attorney general.
Wow. Wow. So he gets to administer justice, even though his company, the people he worked with, probably committed one of the biggest sins
yes.
against humanity.
Yes, yes. And on top of it all, of course, being a maggot, he sits around constantly worrying about the precious little fetuses, and of course doesn't give a damn about any of them after they're born or anything. But beyond that, there is, you know, there's in the world of understanding Manchin, I've been trying to sort of reduce this to a lowest common denominator sort of thing, because he's done so many dumb things. And along the way, to be fair, he's done some good ones. He's never wavered, for the most part, in his determination to see black lung benefits continue to be extended to people who gave their lives to the coal industry and had their ability to breathe ruined or ended.
Mm-hmm.
He voted the right way on keeping the Affordable Care Act. Okay, it's not you know, we're so angry with him now, we forget that you know, he did do some things right. That this is by no means a defense. But what we're talking about here is his bread and butter. We're talking about the thing that separates him from all the Manchins having to eat rice and beans for the rest of their lives.
Forgive me, Bob, for a second. If you hear some dialing, just keep talking. I am actually clocking in. So I'm sorry, oh, Robin.
Oh, that's
Jesus,
okay.
I told you.
No,
I told you to hit me.
But I ain't going to. Yeah, it's just a matter of when it comes to the filibuster, when it comes to Senate procedure, when it comes to anything that might give Democrats a 56 or 57 or God knows 60 vote majority in the Senate, then he's going to vote against it because it goes directly to the heart of the matter, and the heart of the matter for Joe Manchin is always Joe Manchin, and the heart of the matter of Joe Manchin is always coal. All the talk about the vaunted history of the Senate, and there's always been a filibuster. No, bullshit. All the talk about we've got to have procedure, and we got to have seven. Bullshit. The reason he's doing what he is doing is to protect the coal industry. Remember, he sits as, thanks to a certain senator, he sits as chair of the Senate Natural Resources Committee. And that means any climate change legislation, any of that, is going to come before him, and he cannot run the risk of it being passable in a 51-49 Senate. He is going to protect that 60-vote threshold come hell or high water as long as his toxic black rock depends upon it.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing, though. Believe it or not, I actually kind of agree with you that Joe Manchin does appear to have a little bit of a soul. Okay? It's weird, but yeah. You know, I don't think he is innately evil or, you know, just downright born psychopath, sociopath evil. But you talk about his bread and butter. Now, here's the thing. Okay, let's say you grew up with money, you know, and just everybody before you had money, all the friends, everybody you went to school with had money. And money affords you nice things. Of course it does. And let's say you were a sensitive child or, you know, you did have some compassion for certain things or whatever. But at the same time, you were also surrounded by things that, you know, that made your life comfortable and easier. So could that be something? I mean, we're getting into psychology and all this other bullshit. But I mean, could that be something? Well, you know, Joe Manchin's accustomed to living well, and he doesn't see anything wrong. He knows about black lung, ironically, but at the same time, you know, this is his daddy's thing, or this is what keeps his wife with him, or this is why his kids are not going to go to a shitty school.
Yeah, this is what has made his grown adult children already multimillionaires. And will make his grandchildren and great-grandchildren unto the umpteenth generation gazillionaires, okay?
And if a man were to leave the earth tomorrow, wouldn't one of his greatest accomplishments be to him, my family's doing well, I had an amazing career, and blah, blah, you know. And again, not an excuse.
Right, and I had a white Maserati and a yacht and I done right by my familia.
You know.
But I mean, there's a long history. There's a long history of mansions in this state. They've been swelling around with Republicans while at the same time professing to be Democrats since God was a baby. There's an old saying out there, no Manchin ever does anything for anybody not named Manchin. No Manchin ever votes for a Democrat whose name isn't Manchin. I mean, they are a known quantity in this state. It's kind of like a low-rent, cold-dusted Kennedys.
And that sounds weird, Bob. Jesus, I'm so sorry.
You don't have to apologize.
Darling, love, sweetie, forgive me, please. I'm deeply, deeply sorry about that.
Okay.
I was just going to say with that, you forget about the mansion. I forgot, you know, I'm here in Colorado, I don't pay attention, I think of the man. I forgot the family. There's a dynasty there. I mean, they, you know, that's who they are, and people recognize them, you know, and I know you guys aren't that small, I don't know where your nearest city is or anything. How much rural are you guys out there?
You don't get much more rural than West Virginia. I mean, if you rolled us out flat, we'd be bigger than Alaska. But you know, there's only 1.7 million of us. And on football Saturdays in Morgantown, the stadium becomes the third largest city in West Virginia. And because it's got 70,000 people in it. You know, the Charleston metro area, you're probably around 100K. And that's as big as it gets.
You know, my father was from Mississippi, and we would go visit my grandfather. And, you know, this is the 70s, 80s, you know, looking at that time. And I remember the early 70s, and they were so rural. You know, I mean, they had the highway, I don't know, Highway 66, I'm not sure what it is, 50 or whatever, to Canton, Mississippi, and Carthage, Mississippi. But in between, they lived between Canton and Carthage, and then about 60 miles more would have been Jackson. When we went out there in the 70s to see my grandfather, they lived in an old house, and I mean, dude, I think they were carrying pails of water in for the dishes, but I do remember he had an outhouse. And me and my sister were little girls, so we had the chamber pot that night. You know, we couldn't go to the outhouse by ourselves. We were little girls, so we had to. And being kids, you think everything is an adventure. I mean, this was like, wow, we get to pee in this pot, you know. But I mean, the whole point was how rural it was. But then again, you're talking about black, you know, a black farmer, black. His parents were, I think, were sharecroppers, and the parents before that were slaves. But he's a farmer, and he's broke. And actually, the state of Mississippi went and got them a lot of those guys, like my grandfather, houses. They bought them brick homes to. I don't know what type of program it was, but it was one of the good few fucking things that Mississippi
probably a federal one.
Yeah. You're right. There we go. So it was fucking federal. I'm sure it was. But I mean, I keep forgetting about, you know, West Virginia and how rural you guys. I mean, I live in Colorado. It's 5 million.
My God.
We're big.
But I mean, you and I are of a very similar age. And when I and the first trips I ever took were coming from where I was born in Alabama up here to visit relatives.
Mm-hmm.
And this house that I live in now had an outhouse. If I go out the studio door, it would have been maybe 20 feet, maybe 30, over by the property line.
Wow.
And I remember being little and my grandmother having a new bathroom put in and having to use that outhouse. Mm-hmm. And it was dark and splintery, and there were spider webs, and it was terrifying, and it stunk.
Wow. Well, you know, and that's the trippy thing, though, because here in Colorado, we had the toilets. We had, you know, so, and I guess we're among a few people over our age group, probably lots more. But, you know, from my age group and younger, you know, 53 and younger or whatever, there's probably children who have never, ever experienced that in their lives. And then there I was living between these worlds with a dad who had a great gig in the Army. He was a sergeant first class. He's an E-7. And, you know, we're living in a house with two bathroom house or whatever in Colorado. And then going to see our grandparents and seeing that other level of poverty that just, you know, and then, and just growing up knowing Bob, I'm
Scott. No, you're good. Please stop self-censoring.
Sorry. Growing up, knowing, seeing both sides of poverty and experiencing some poverty after my parents' divorce, there's just no way for me to, I could never give up on the people who are doing worse than I am or doing, you know, it's just like, I don't know. I have to use the word God again. It's just like he gave me compassion just to, because I could never be like those senators who don't see, you know, the mansions. Well, again, there's some compassion in them, but they simply are not capable of understanding what extreme poverty is like. You may have seen it, but they don't get it. It's not a day-to-day thing for them. And then they get to Washington and they purport to recognize, but then when the money starts coming in and they've got all these people supporting them, and then after a while, you know, it's like, and I think of the woman who was just nominated to Congress and how she was sleeping in her car. And I thought, wow, she hit it out of the ballpark, because if anybody knows what people need as a Democrat, it's going to be folks like her, you know. So. But anyway, Robin,
nice.
I've got, are you still there?
I'm right here.
I've got to get in the building. I did clock in. but I just wanted to let you guys know I'm fine.
We miss you.
You know, I feel like I'm a much better person in a lot of ways than I was. You know, I think COVID just kind of told me all of the bullshit and everything and the drama that you put yourself through all these years. Here's something real, but this is involving everybody. And, you know, we're all connected and we're all human beings. And so it's scary for all of us. So, you know, just focus on doing a good job, being a good person, just taking your happy moments when you can and whatever. And I met somebody online and he, he doesn't live here in my city, but, he can come to see me and we just love talking about rock music and, you know, all kinds of stuff.
So that's beautiful.
I'm happy about him.
That's absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And not only the other side of the planet can travel. That's good.
Yeah. I was on one of those websites. There's people contacting me from New Jersey and Florida. And I'm like, what? And then you come up here and, you know, it's like, I'm not going to hit you. We're not going to do it the first time. But if you're going to fly fucking up here from Florida to see me, you're going to expect something. So it's like, no, I don't, you know, I need somebody who, you know, can come down every weekend or, you know, just, you know, or whatever. And then whatever happens, happens. So that's why I need somebody local. But anyway, so long story short, everybody's okay. Your son, your wife, everybody's okay?
Pretty much. And the new little granddaughter on the way this summer.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I've got a new nephew, which is rare in my family, but he was born in August. So that is the newest. I think that makes 28. Nieces, nephews, great nieces and nephews, and great, great nieces. So it's just amazing. I have a big, huge family, and we've been very supportive, and none of us have gotten corona, and we just all love each other, and it's just good. And congrats on your granddaughter.
Well, thank you. We're all terribly excited. And, you know, what you were saying is, in many ways, you know, since roughly September of 2020, what I've been trying, I know you got to go, but I'm trying to be a better person. I want to be a better person. I want to do justice by what I have finally done in trying to live authentically. And so, you know, that you said resonates with me.
I think you do an amazing, you're one of the most compassionate, articulate, intellectual person I've ever met. I think that you, I forgot what it is. I don't know what it is. Polyglots in lots of languages, but the other one where you tried to teach yourself so many different things.
Autodidact.
Very well. Autodidact, absolutely. And, you guys dealing with a very, very intelligent guy. I mean, the type of person you just absolutely enjoy every minute that you get a chance to have a conversation with them. And so, good tidings, God bless or whatever to you and your family and all the listeners, everybody. And I'm doing fine. And, I just turned 53.
Happy birthday.
We're going to make it. Thank you. We're going to make it. We're going to make it through, guys. Don't worry about that. We're all right. We're all right. We will make it through.
I'm going to make that a watchword. Lady B, what a joy, what a pleasure, what an honor to have you ring in. I hope it won't be another year and a half or a year or whatever. We worry.
Well, you know, just I'm hoping to just get my shit together because I don't want to call in to complain. I wouldn't mind hopefully getting out there with my, hopefully, bow and, you know, getting out there and having some barbecue with you guys and not tripping and, you know.
I love the fact that you use the word bow. That's sweet.
Yeah. So, you know.
That's very old school.
It's very, very old. Well, my dad used to call them his girlfriend's lady friend.
So, yes.
Yeah, that's how that goes. All right.
Well, hey, I hope you have a wonderful shift, and you take care of yourself. Give our best to the whole family, and say hi to the beau for us now.
Okay.
And let's do talk soon, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Robin. I got to put on my mask.
All right. Thank you, Lady B. Bye now.
All right. Bye.
Well, what a treat. What an absolute joy after so long to hear from Lady B. And to know she's doing okay, and not only just doing okay, but doing better. Doing good. Need to hear that once in a while. Need to hear that more often than perhaps we do. And after that uplift, now I got to wander back into the swamp and get back to the stuff that we focus on and deal with. Lord God, why am I getting ads for Saks Fifth Avenue? There ain't one of those for miles around me, and even if there was, I don't think they'd even let me through the door. Really? A jacket? $2,345? Uh-uh. No. And thank you. I need to send thank you out to Randall. Thank you so much. We just got down to $225 to go for fundraising for this evening. Thank you so much. It's tremendous. There are scary financial obligations out there. But thank you so very much. And by the way, thank you to Billable Rick. Thank you to Steve in New York. Thank you to Kevin in Massachusetts. Extremism in defense of liberty is no vice. That was the Goldwater quote. And Flavio says, Jake Tapper is a goddamn tool. Biden didn't go far enough. Jesus F. Christ. I thought his middle name was H. Oh, wait, I see what you did there. Yeah. How rural is Robin? Answering Lady B's question, Scott in San Diego says, Robin is so far out there, even the RFD routes have RFD routes. Rural free delivery, RFD. So, and by the way, anybody wanting to engage in conversation, you see how easy it is. Jump right in if you were so inclined. The stress line's back open, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. And, of course, you can always reach the program via Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. Yeah, so many things to do. That's really low down on the priorities list. But we finally got my name changed in the chat room, and that's nice. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. All right. This has no particular relevance, I guess, for most of us, but every now and then you see a story and you just sort of say, what? The story comes out of Merry Oldie England, where Bojo the Clown is in deep shit with his own party for throwing little soirees at 10 Downing Street in the midst of the lockdown. That very, very British privilege is very privileged, yes. But anyway, Dr. Simon Bramhall, a surgeon in Britain, would perform surgeries on his patients, and before he got out and left the innards of his patients. And I guess maybe this got my attention because I'm wondering if I've got initials somewhere in me. He would brand his initials into the livers of his patients. I mean, literally, a Kilroy was here in the form of a surgeon. And, wow, this sounds like a Star Trek-y thing. He used an argon beam coagulator. Hand me the argon beam coagulator. We're taking out the Borg vessel. And burned his initials onto the transplanted liver of a patient at the end of each surgery. He was a transplant surgeon. And it was only discovered when one of the transplants failed and another doctor had to do a surgery, and he went in there. What the hell is that? Yeah. And he was charged with two counts of assault, given community service with unpaid work and a fine of £10,000.
That's going to sting, I guess. I don't know. But they've yanked his license. He can no longer work as a doctor or a surgeon in the UK. I really hope there's no... I hope there's nowhere in my new workings that says JPS was here. I don't think he'd do that. But it's a reminder that old saying, and it's mostly repeated by lawyers, that doctors are the only profession that gets to bury their mistakes. Or what Twain said when he said to, and of course he's the one who gave the Gilded Age its nickname, the Victorian era in the United States. Despite the enlightened age in which we dwell, nonetheless, when they pass on the street, doctors and undertakers still wink at each other. He was, of course, a genius. I know. Ralph says, ew, gross. Yeah, it is, isn't it? And now anybody who's ever had any kind of surgery is wondering, I wonder if I got any initials in me. Sorry, my bad. Oh, let's see here. Oh, and Jeremy in Vermont says, it doesn't say was here, Robin. It says brought to you by Carl's Jr. Yeah. All right, let's run over and check in with Dave in the Blind. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Well, I'm pissed.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yes. Well, in order to make the wished for and hoped for Civil War occur as a hot war, the state of Indiana today,
oh no,
in the city of Indianapolis, passed a bill that when signed into law will no longer require permits for firearms as long as you're not mentally ill or a felon. Now,
they're just getting around to that?
Yes, but here's the thing, Robin. This is Telebandiana. I'm sure there's a religious exemption for God talking to you over your porn plates.
Oh, yeah, that's not mental illness. That's faith.
That's a religious exemption.
Jesus.
Oh yeah, and I'm kind of ticked off at an ex-friend of mine. Seems last week I had gone to the bank, and I had been rescued by my landlord because I got caught out in the cold, and I was all wet. My bladder went, and he got me home within three blocks, wheeling my wheelchair. I took my money out of my pocket to dry. Well, my friend came over because of Christine's hospital visit last week. And I'm out $165. And he's the only person that was in there other than me. So I get a call from my landlord today telling me not to let him in the house because he is positive with COVID.
Oh.
So I am locking down for the next 2 weeks just to be on the safe side. I've got everything I need. I've got all the food. I've got all the clothing, everything I need. So there's no worries there. All of my bills have been paid, and I've still got money in the bank, so that's okay. But should an emergency occur, I'm not going to be able to respond other than to leave the house in case it's burning. Thank you, maggots.
Jesus, God. God, that's one of those one of those Malloy moments where he says, if it ain't lice, it's bed bugs.
The thing is, folks, if you can't motivate yourself to vote and turn these assholes out, I don't know what's wrong with you. It's been 2 years since I had COVID. I don't believe I have it now, but I'm not taking any goddamn chances.
You're thoroughly jabbed, are you not?
No. No, I'm not, because I cannot get the road in front of my house is literally blocked off. I got to go a half block just to catch a cab. And that's if I want to sit out in the middle of the goddamn winter. So I've been staying home. I've been going out as little as possible.
Seems like the smart money, and it is kind of the dead and still of winter, is it not?
Yeah, and they don't have a program where, unless I can hire a doctor to come in and give me the shot, but the house call probably cost me $200.
Jesus, Dave, I'm so sorry.
It's okay, Robin. It's okay.
Actually, it's not okay. I mean, it's just an ugly little shit show that you've been through.
Well, what I mean is, it's not your fault. I'm not blaming you.
No, you know, that's one of those vagaries of English. You know, when someone hears bad news and they say, "I'm sorry," they're not, you know, we're not accepting fault. We are trying to be empathic and share your grief and share your upset.
Yeah, but English is one of the weirdest languages on the planet. I mean, let's face it. There are so many rules and countervailing exceptions that you damn near have to be a lawyer just to study the goddamn language.
Who do you think made it that way?
I believe that was the court of Edward II. Yeah,
they're about. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Ethelred the Unready?
No, Ethelred was a legal reformer, but he was ready. I mean, he was an educated man. I believe he was the first king of England to write a book.
You're way out in front of me on that.
And we're going back to the Saxon kings, not the Norman assholes.
No, the ones with the real fun names.
Ethelred and all that. Yeah, you got to tie your tongue around your eye teeth just to see what you're saying.
People whom Chaucer wouldn't even understand.
William the Bastard, okay. So he came over with a bunch of horsemen. He still had to use the common law to rule the land because so many people were used to dealing with each other that way. That if he had tried to simply impose French court proceedings, he wouldn't have been able to rule.
No, he wouldn't. And chaos would have ensued, and then you get the Doomsday Book, and I think maybe some of Annette's ancestors show up in the Doomsday Book.
Oh, cool. My ancestors, a good chunk of them, were from north of the border.
I got them north of the border, west of the border, still on the continent, most of whom were probably still squabbling over the buzzards with what the wolves didn't want. You know, civilization came to us.
What are you talking about, Robin? We had civilization. It's the rest of the world that didn't catch up with us until years later.
At least part of me comes from borderer stock, so I'll have the civilization argument with you. that cow's wandering around with no. Let's bring it in the house. I can't stand to see a lonely cow.
Now that would be thievery. How do you know? Is it marked? No. Well, then how do you know?
Got your name on it?
Does it have your Lord's sigil on it? No.
Did you just use the word sigil?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, I did.
Well, that makes this program entirely unique. I'm quite certain that on the 12th day of January, 2022, nowhere in America has there been a broadcast that used the word sigil.
Well, I mean, but no other broadcast would have people like Lady B and me and a few others who regularly come in and enliven your life just a tad.
Well, Lady B is still listening, and she thank you, Lady B. Lady B just knocked us down to 215. Thank you, Lady B. Lady B says,
"I'm glad to hear."
Well, she said, "Dave is a delight. Talk about a match of wits. God, I love well-read people."
I am honored because I know what a great writer she is. I mean, she could probably write a menu and I'd read it for days. You know. The other thing that's pissing me off is Moscow Mitch. And I'm half tempted to call his office and exclaim that, yes, I support building a wall around a very specific portion of the country to protect the country from the evil that creeps out from it. And when the maggot on the other end goes, yeah, that would be the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Since I'm from Indiana, that's an obvious reason right there. The old joke around the southern part of Indiana is the way you keep Kentuckians from crossing the border is turn your lights out at night. This hand-wringing and pearl-clutching, I caught about a minute of your filthy morning habit this morning, and I thought Willie and Joe were going to have absolute strokes because Biden called Republicans out. And how could he do that?
How dare he? The nerve.
Yes, I mean, he's only a president of the United States, not the one that we installed. Somebody ought to remind Joe every time he starts getting critical of Trump, you and Mika helped put him there with millions and millions of dollars worth of free publicity.
Annette always remembers that, and kind of hard for me to forget, too.
And I realized that Jesus of Nazareth was talking about hell when his greedy little followers who didn't understand anything had to have it broken down for them when he said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. Well, if there are that many goddamn mansions, I don't want to be anywhere near him, because listening to Joe or 30 seconds.
Yeah, Manchin's enough. That's not Manchin.
And I'm sure I get the excuse, well, the Lord has known us for a long time. And just, I want to gouge my eyes out when I hear stuff like that. But why can't you call somebody who blocks voting rights a racist? That does not make any damn sense. I propose something that goes far, far beyond the Voting Rights Act. And I've said this before. If you are a citizen of the United States and you've been living in the state where you reside for 30 days or more, you can vote. Period. No exemption for felons.
Well, you know what? Maine, the state of Maine, has almost instantaneous voter registration.
And it's worked for them.
And they don't have they don't have voter fraud. They don't have any problems.
Vermont allows convicted felons serving prison time in Vermont to vote, with the obvious reasoning being that most of them are going to get out. And if they're going to be expected to obey the laws from then on, they should have a say in who writes those laws. It wasn't until, I don't believe it was until after the Civil War, that the felon exception started, because it was a way to keep blacks from voting. So when Alabama's worst gift to the nation gets up there and says, well, Joe Biden is trying to destroy the Senate, I'm thinking, Addison, please. You know, this is a guy who was poorer than dirt growing up, and God help, was sent to Warm Springs, Georgia, of all places,
yep,
to treat his polio. And yet he wants to take every disabled person and say, well, fuck you, and I've got mine. It makes me want to make sure that they polish the floors in the Capitol enough so that when he steps out of his office, he goes face first into the floor. I've had it happen to me. I know what that's like. I know how scary it is. But God damn it, that son of a bitch deserves it. You know, I would love to see him get so busted up because of his own arrogance that they have to wheel his poor carcass in a wheelchair. It's not like it hasn't been done before. And from what I understand, Mitch has a hell of a time getting around the Capitol, obviously. And you know, but if he's going to be that nasty and that vile, I should call his office and say, you know what? I want to become a conservative just like Addison. But I need some guidelines. How nasty and racist must I be to be a true conservative?
Yeah, don't waste your breath, Dave. I mean, I know the impulse, but don't waste your breath. They'll just hang up. And the sad thing is, you'll never talk to anybody. I mean, I'd say the vast majority, probably north of 90% of the kids who are sitting there answering, and they're kids who sit there and answer the phone, you know, they're not, and they're not engaged. They're there put so they can put something on a resume.
Yeah, you're breaking up, Dave.
I said it's different in Andre Carson's office. I call up there 2 years after I called before. They asked me if I was still at the same address. I mean, all they did was plug my phone number, and it came right up for them.
Yeah.
You know, I got a call back from one of his local staff members. I've never had a real problem with local staff. I had a Republican representative when I lived in Bloomington. Don't ask me how. But the 8th District of Indiana at that time was one of the most red districts in the country. And he had an office in Bloomington, Indiana, one of the bluest counties in the country. I mean, you walk into Bloomington when I was living there, when Chris and I were living there, it was a nice college town. Now the Republicans have been hanging around for too long. It's become a long-distance suburb of Indianapolis, and it looks like it. There is hardly any green space. It's all fast food restaurants on the main drag, where there used to be small businesses, and even houses right off the street. I mean, it's just, I went down there one time with Christine in the last 10 years, and I was just heartbroken. I never want to see that town again. Because all my memories are shot. You know. But why in the hell? And I think this new bill that was passed was to prevent homeless firearms. You know, that firearms, you know, the poor distraught firearms.
Yeah, I know, I understood you. Yeah. Firearms that had nowhere to lay their head.
Or you know,
with their muzzles pressed up against the frigid window pane, looking at the happy gunless family inside, and asking, why me?
Well, we can give it to the 3-year-oldies. Yeah, right. Please, I'll take care of the 3-year-old. I'll take him out to potty. I'll be right.
Yeah.
And you're a 45 automatic? No. No.
Well, you'll get a kick out of this. This is one of those things that was in the stack. I never cease to be amazed at the willingness of the cue balls to swallow everything that's handed their way. Now, you know Nitwit Nero is having a rally in Arizona, Dave. It's his first rally of 2022 this Saturday.
Why can't he get Robin?
It's going to be a super spreader event, but it's going to be...
Of course.
It's going to be widely attended. Apparently, there's just going to be oodles and oodles and oodles of cue balls in there. And...
Please.
Mr. Meth Pillow Lindell's going to be there. A guy named Mark Fincham, who's running for Secretary of State of Arizona, will be there as a special guest speaker. His job will be to stroke the ego of Nitwit Nero.
But wait.
I mean, this is the Ginsu commercial, Dave. There's more. One of the people who's expected to show up is a guy named Michael Protzman, who has been hanging out in Dallas lately, waiting for John F. Kennedy and JFK Jr. to show up. And in one of the calls that he hosts, he said they're traveling to the rally in Arizona, and he's thinking that JFK might show up at this one. You're muffled again, Dave.
There's a long tradition of running the night. It started when they were in World War II. It's just coming in the next 2 days. So 4 years later, you had to kill them.
Well, the best part of this whole story, though, is the fact that the cue balls saw in the flyer that Nitwit Nero's people said, and there'll be live entertainment. You want to know what the live entertainment, Dave, and like I said, you're muffled. I don't know if your hand's over the mouthpiece or whatever, but for some reason.
How's this? Better?
Better. Well, The cue balls are now saying that the live entertainment, because live entertainment is on the flyer, is going to be a band that is made up of, wait for it, Michael Jackson, Prince, Whitney Houston, Janis Joplin, Tupac, and John Lennon.
Well, of course, because
the live entertainment is going to be by dead people.
Of course, because
the cue balls are sold.
Well, you know how I said no pizza for me?
Yeah.
That goes for peanut butter, too. Because I don't know where that.
Well, the same Protsman dude said, you know, we went to a Rolling Stones concert in Dallas. But the Rolling Stones were replaced by Michael Jackson, Prince, and JFK Jr.
Okay.
I had that dream the other night where I gave Joe Scarborough some psilocybin mushrooms, and I don't know, maybe he handed them off to this dude. I got nothing.
You know what it sounds like? They line up for a drag show. It does.
I'm licked.
I have no idea, Robin. However, if they really want entertainment, they could hire me, and I could just say how much I wanted to change my name to Richard Tater and run for office. Because I know that they all want a dictator somewhere in their government.
Well, you know, the thing is, as long you can tell them anything, as long as you say Q told you to do it. And it's like Scott in San Diego just said, it's a job, I guess, to that poor suffering schmuck whose distasteful task at the upcoming rally is to stroke Trump's ego. Hope he remembers to bring his tweezers in a loop. P.S. I heard one of the radio ads for the upcoming rally, and we'll be clearing out rock and roll heaven for an entertainment lineup to die for.
You're kidding me.
Oh, Scott's being facetious.
Aren't there certain rules for radio ads, things that you don't do?
Well, it wasn't a real radio ad. He was making that part up, Dave.
Being an old radio hand, he can do that, though.
Well, yeah.
So, I think they still permit that kind of activity, and I'm sure Scott's got his permits all in order. So, Robin,
I think so. Well, Dave, listen, you take care of yourself. I'm sorry that bit of shittiness befell you.
And Chris, not half as shitty as I'm going to be when I get out of this thing. My landlord's coming over Sunday to check on me. And I can't ask for a better guy as a landlord. He's gone out of his way to help me. And I'm at least safer than I was the last time I got COVID. I've got my own place. I don't have to worry about dealing with other people.
Right.
I told the other people in the house, because they have a tendency just to come down, knock on the door, open the door, and come in. Okay. That's the way we usually do it or during the day. I said, don't do it. If you come down, you better be masked, and I'm going to stop you at the door. So, we'll see in 2 weeks.
You just stay safe and do everything you can to be okay.
I will. I'm resting a lot. The only thing I can tell that I got today is like a little bit of a scratchy throat, and that's it. No runny nose, no brain fog. But I remember Steve in New York was saying how he didn't really have a lot of the symptoms either, except that he's tired and he had a scratchy throat. So, if that's the case, then in 2 weeks, I'm going to really go off on this guy. Because there's no excuse for this shit. Anyway, Christine is safe.
Good.
We haven't been around each other since right after New Year's. So, if he had brought that to her house and gotten her sick, you might be reading my name in the paper. Man commits homicide when ex-wife gets COVID because of an idiot. But
sadly, the pandemic has largely been spread by idiots. So, and it was allowed to run loose by an idiot.
Yeah, and an idiot relative of mine said that the same said idiot had done everything right when the pandemic started. I bet you can guess who he voted for.
Yeah.
All right, Robin, take care of yourself.
I'm going to try, and you do the same, you hear?
I will. I'm drinking a lot of fluid. I'm eating properly, for one.
Oh, I thought you were just going to say you were drinking a lot. And I was going to say, well, you know, it can't live in alcohol.
No, I'm out of room, damn it. I made two measures of grog yesterday, and that was the last of my booze. God damn it, and I can't get any more.
Who?
Yeah, I follow a 18th century cooking channel on YouTube.
Yeah.
This guy does a lot of reenacting and stuff. And
you made grog?
I made grog.
And then you gave yourself the official Royal Navy grog ration?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
By God damn, you're a Renaissance man is what you are.
Well, me and Dr. Franklin, the next ancestor was one of his drinking buddies. I said, why not?
What a lovely sentiment. Listen, all kidding aside, you take care of yourself, you hear?
I will.
All right, and give our best to Christine. You take care.
I will.
Later, Dave.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Our buddy Dave, calling from the blind, won't be able to go down and visit the boys at the Crucifixion Emporium for quite some time. God damn it. Rotten luck of the stupids. I don't mean Dave. I mean the stupid guy that... Ugh. Yeah. Let's see here. Just a little bit of time left in the program. We got $215 to go in fundraising for this Wednesday, so as not to have a $515 fundraising goal tomorrow. Thanks to Randall, and thank you to Lady B for getting us down that far. Thank you so much.
okay. So the surgeon story didn't really have any relevance. It was just one of those stories. This one does. I've heard stories like the modifications of this story down through the years. You know, young man gets in trouble and goes before, you know, some sort of juvenile trouble and goes before the judge, and the judge says, "Now, son, I'm going to suspend this your sentence until you go down there and you sign up with the Marines. And then you'll have a clean record." You know, joyriding, you know, that kind of crap. This is not that. So we got to do a little bit of time traveling. First of all, Brandon Scott Price was a prison guard at the Franklin County Regional Jail in Kentucky. And he sexually assaulted a woman who was an inmate. And he got busted. And, of course, he did the usual thing. He told her that if she gave him a blowjob, that he'd talk to the Kentucky Department of Corrections employee he knew about getting her released from jail earlier. Well, he got busted. 28 years old. 28 years old is Brandon Scott Price. And he went before the Honorable Thomas Wingate for sentencing on a sexual assault charge. We started this program, or at least it included, the early part of this program included a couple of stories of the hard, hard sentences being handed down for January 6th. Judge Thomas Wingate, on a charge of sexual assault, gave Brandon Scott Price, age 28, a 12-month suspended sentence. 12 months for sexual assault. And the reason he suspended the sentence for 2 years was, he said, if you don't enroll in the United States military within 30 days, you can report to the Franklin County Regional Jail. You're under the gun, young man. You got to do it. Last I checked, the United States military has more than its fair share of sexual assault problems. But Judge Thomas Wingate thinks it's a good idea to take a dirty prison guard who has already sexually assaulted one woman and tell him to go join the military, because that's going to be great. And even if he doesn't sign up, he's still only going to do 12 months for sexually assaulting a woman. A woman who was an inmate in the Kentucky Department of Corrections, and therefore occupied, you know, there was a distinct inequality or power dynamic there, unequal power dynamic. He pulled over the van he was transporting the woman in, coming back from the hospital, no less, and sexually assaulted her. And Judge Wingate, well, Judge Wingate was incensed. He said, "You made a terrible mistake, which I know personally cost the county money." That's what this judge was worried about. County got sued. Insurance paid off. And it pissed off the judge that he cost the county money. You're getting a huge break. I didn't know that. Well, I guess if the sentence is suspended, is the conviction suspended? I'm just kind of at a loss. A suspended sentence for sexual assault, predicated on the idea that this rapist will go and join the United States military. Wonder where he's going to wind up posted. I wonder if any of the women posted there will be at least told who he is and what he does. Sometimes it's like we got more problems than we know. I think that judge has a priorities problem. The state journal, and by the way, the State Journal of Frankfort, Kentucky reported this, so it's not like it came from the National Enquirer. Ugh. Well, it's as good a place to end the program as any. Lord, we've covered a lot of ground this evening. Thanks to each and every one of you, our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors so very much. Thanks to every one of you who share your precious, finite time participating in this long-running conversation. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Brother Bishop Steve in the chat room this evening. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Now that this second session of Congress is underway, of this Congress, please, please, reach out. Call your member of the House. Ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act, and do your part to help end Appalachia's agony and the practice of mountaintop removal here. Doesn't get much more grassroots than that. Do everything you can to stay safe. Get your vaccine, get your booster, wash your hands, don't touch your face. Get yourself a good quality, real, not counterfeit KN95 mask, several of them if you can. Wear them. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet, according to Paul from Parts Unknown. And, if somebody comes toward you saying, you know what, I'm going to that Trump rally in Arizona because, Prince and Michael Jackson and Tupac and, well, they're all going to be there. Avoid that person like the plague, because they are. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Later.